Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm on the edge of my seat.
You are, Doug. Why? What's up?
Well, I'm waiting for the bat phone to ring over at Personhood, Colorado. The Secretary of State could be calling any moment.
Yeah, they could be calling Personhood, Colorado, because 80,000 signatures were submitted, and we're going to find out how many are disqualified, and then we'll have 2 weeks, 15 days, to restore the breach.
Restore the breach. I like that.
Yeah.
It could happen at any moment.
Yeah, we'll have
any
to get
second.
Some thousands of signatures. We've got 10 teams ready to go. My team is Metro West. We're going to have a good time.
Yeah, we are now the Centennial South Metro Alpha Dogs.
That's who you guys are.
Your
team.
I got 32 team members right now. Rocking.
You're doing better than I am, but we got a lot of hardcore signature
gatherers.
It comes
down to production, so.
Yeah, so if anybody out there wants to help get signatures to restore the number to 76,000.
47.
To get
76,047.
To get personhood on the ballot in Colorado, then just call Personhood Colorado, call Colorado Right to Life.
Yeah, you can go to their respective websites, get the details, get in touch.
Or you can call, if you want to be on my team, you could call 800-8-ENYART, 800-836-9278, and we'll get you a petition. And when the Secretary of State
when he
says go, then we start getting signatures.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
We'll have a good time. All right.
You can be a part of the most significant human rights battle of your lifetime. Don't let it pass you by.
This is historic.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
It'd be like if you were alive in the early 1800s and you did nothing to stop slavery.
Boy.
And then you were ashamed.
Yeah. Your grandchildren later are looking back at their family tree, and they found out that you just ran a shoe store during the greatest civil rights and human rights battle of your time.
Or if you were in Germany and you've got Oscar Schindler and Corrie Ten Boom and the Avenue of the Righteous, as they call it in Jerusalem, but you did nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
Because you were busy. Really, you watched the hockey Stanley Cup playoffs.
Kept up on your sports.
Yeah. Basketball. But you really didn't do anything to oppose the Nazis, protect the Jews, to help free blacks.
Yeah.
And you're a Christian, you went to church, you went to Sunday school, and you gave money in the collection plate.
Speaking of giving money, if you don't have the type of personality to go out and give signatures, go to Colorado Right to Life's website, go to Personhood Colorado, go to their website, make a donation. Then you're doing something.
Make a donation. Either, if you could, get 20 signatures during the cure period.
That would be bigger than a financial donation.
Or give $20.
Yeah. 20 signatures
or
$20. I mean,
all right.
You know,
got
you
it.
Anyway, so speaking of historic, now that you bring up that topic, Bob, the debate is over. Barack Obama.
What debate?
Barack Obama today declared the debate is over on health care. The time has come to act, and he is going to act.
Well, did he really?
He did.
Well,
he used that term. The debate is over.
Well, this is good news, Doug. This is a good development.
How is it good news? I'm terrified
it's
now.
It's really good news.
The juggernaut of socialized health care seems now to be rolling on with so much momentum.
Remember Al Gore? Where's Al Gore been?
I remember
the
Al
winter
Gore.
Of 09-10. Where has Al Gore been?
The winter of his discontent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, remember that Al Gore declared that the debate was over with global warming?
That's right. He did.
And he doesn't use the term climate change. He says global warming.
He still uses the term global warming. Yeah.
And he says the debate is over. The science is settled. There is consensus.
I remember that.
And we are now in the midst of a global warming meltdown.
And it's time to act. No more time for debate, he said. Yeah, I remember that.
Well, the London Telegraph. In fact, Doug, I think we should go through this article. I brought a copy for you. You want to look at this?
I got it.
There it is.
A perfect storm.
A perfect storm is brewing for the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
Yeah.
And there's a perfect storm brewing, Doug. And this article in the London Telegraph, it's just hysterical. Well, I'd like to do a summary of where the whole global warming movement is at.
I'm all for that. I love what's happening. So
it's hysterical.
Just open up here. What do we have?
Go ahead. Well, you know, the Bible says that summer, winter, autumn, spring, that these will remain for as long as the earth remains. Genesis chapter 9.
I was going to say, I thought that came pretty early on, too, in the Bible.
Yeah. So instead of that, we have Al Gore, the end of the world, doomsayer prophets, who say it's over. And so here's the London Telegraph. A perfect storm is brewing for the IPCC. There is to be an international investigation into the conduct of the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change and its chairman. Now, I don't know the guy's name. I don't know if I... Rajendra Pachauri.
There's a lot of vowels in that. I believe it's Rajendra Pachauri.
Is that how you say it?
Well, I mean, I'm taking my best
shot. I thought it was Rajan D-Ray. You know what a DJ is? Well, when global warming comes from the sun, I thought it was Rajan D-Ray.
Rajan D-Ray.
Not DJ, D-Ray. If you'd say it phonetically, Raging. Isn't it Rajan D-Ray?
Well, that would work now that I look at the spelling.
Yeah. Pachauri. Rajan D-Ray Pachauri, the chairman of the IPCC.
Pachauri.
That's his last name.
That's something your ophthalmologist has to do before surgery or something. Yeah. Pachauri.
So,
wait a minute.
So this guy is the chairman of the global warming panel for the UN.
I thought he was the guy who did the glass blowing art. No, this is a different guy.
Oh,
you know,
that's
the glass.
Chihuly. That's Chihuly.
No, wait. I thought that was Patchouli. No.
That's somebody else altogether.
Okay. Well, anyway, Rajendra.
There's 6 billion people in the world. There are a lot of names.
Yeah, and this one has more vowels than most.
Yeah.
Rajendra
Pachauri. And if they end in U, they come from Romania.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Ceausescu.
Yeah. So, yeah, but anyway, this guy, Rajan D-Ray, is the chairman.
There's going to be an international investigation of the UN Intergovernment Panel on Climate Change and the chairman. Good.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Scotland and North America have been swept by blizzards.
I remember that.
And the worst winter for decades. So there's been something of a lull in the global warming storm.
Well, that's what you would think.
Because it's so cold.
If you believed your own eyes and your own sensors in your skin.
Right. But now there have really been 3 months of a complete meltdown, scandal, expose, revelations. And so now the UN has announced there's going to be an investigation. It'll be a scam, of course, but it is fun to watch.
I hope it's not a scam. Now, I'm reading the article. The chief defense, there's been a defense offered by the global warmists.
The warmists.
Yeah. They say
that's like the birthers. They're the warmists.
These are the warmists.
Yeah.
The truthers, the birthers, and now the warmists. Okay.
Yeah.
They say that there were only a few marginal mistakes scattered through the vast 3,000-page document that
was the report.
That's
what they say. Just a few.
Yeah. And they say
for example,
Do we have any examples? They're minor. So
in this article,
marginal. It might be hard to find examples.
Just a few examples in a 3,000-page report.
All right.
Of mistakes that they made. Do you have any there?
Let's see here. They say it might have been wrong to predict that the Himalayan glaciers would melt by 2035.
Yeah, that freaked out half the world's population. They could no longer sleep at night.
Yeah, and how can you, I mean, the Himalayas are fairly large.
Yeah.
So how can you call that a marginal mistake?
That's
a mistake over vast thousands of square miles.
And then they made a mistake saying that global warming was going to destroy 40% of the Amazon rainforest.
The rainforest.
That they had to backtrack on.
See, now that's scary because if 40% of the Amazon rainforest were indeed destroyed, that would be catastrophic for the ecosystem. It would be bad.
But for Brazil.
Well, it would be bad for the whole world.
Well,
if 40% of the Amazon. Well, anyway.
I guess.
Predictions like this scare.
Of the jungle?
Well, you say jungle, but that's. You're not enlightened.
It's
now the rainforest.
It's the jungle.
It's the jungle.
With mosquitoes and.
Yeah.
Too much humidity.
Here's the thing. When you start
it's
making
miserable down there,
I
come
wouldn't
to think
live
of it.
There. But when you start making predictions about the jungle disappearing, that scares people.
And then African crop yields drop by 50% because of global warming. Uh-oh, another error.
What does Africa have crops?
They have some crops.
I thought that their pagan Muslim governments had pretty much wiped out crop production across Africa successfully over the last 50 years.
Well, that's been going on. I think aquaculture really is what they need to work on in Africa.
Is that right?
But anyway, fish farming, sort of.
Well, that's not
but
bad.
So, Doug, so
these
are
the
all claims in this 3,000-page document that they're saying, oops.
Yeah, rising sea levels were part of the prediction.
Rising dangerously.
Yeah.
Hurricanes, droughts, and extreme weather events getting worse. This is all in the report.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And these are some of the errors that the warmists say, well, they were only isolated errors in a massive report, and behind them, the mighty edifice of global warming remains unscathed. The science is settled. The debate is done. There is consensus. We have global warming. Sounds like the New York Times to me. Sounds like the New York Times.
Yeah.
Which is falling apart.
This was from the London Telegraph. Have you noticed that there's virtually no reportage out of any American papers on this?
What's with that?
They all come out of London.
Why doesn't USA Today report on all this in a way that's so concise?
Yeah.
That everybody would see that the man behind the curtain is the one who's pulling the levers.
Well, maybe the American papers just don't have the resources anymore. You know, they've been having some troubles.
They have.
Maybe they don't have enough staff.
Couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of people.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so the London Telegraph, actually this is a guest piece by Christopher Booker.
Yeah.
Who does have an agenda. He believes global warming is caused by the sun.
Oh, he does?
Yeah. I mean, that is a radical position, but he thinks global warming is caused by the sun. So he says this. He says, put the errors together, and it could be seen that one after another, they tick off all the central, iconic issues of the entire global warming saga.
Wow.
Apart from those non-vanishing polar bears.
Right? Oh, yeah, right.
Because the polar bears, that's been used in the last year to really pull those heartstrings.
Oh, yeah. Make the little kids cry.
Right. There's a documentary of this polar bear who's starving because he can't get a seal to eat.
He's stuck on a piece of ice.
It's just the stupidest documentary in the history of documentaries, because if it was a documentary about the seals and a polar bear trying to kill a baby seal, everybody would hate the polar bear and be cheering for the seals to get away.
Yeah.
So they make it about the polar bear, and then you want him to kill the seal.
Yeah.
Anyway, he says...
Now, wasn't there a TV commercial recently, too, where polar bears rained down out of the sky and landed on the ground and were
killed? That was fish.
No, it was polar bears.
Oh, it was polar bears?
I saw the commercial, and it basically implied that when you take a flight, you're basically killing polar bears. And to make the point, they had a plane go over, and then polar bears dropping out of the sky, smashing cars. It was quite a production.
You know,
you didn't see that commercial?
No, I didn't see that. Now, in Australia, they actually did have fish raining from the sky.
Oh, I heard
hitting
about
the ground, and they're still alive.
Oh, yeah?
And they say if there's the right conditions, a tornado will pick up fish from a lake and dump them miles away. But I have a feeling this was just college students with some big whip and slingshots just pelting this monastery with smelts.
But the question is, if the fish are falling out of the sky, is that directly related to the free market system?
Or global warming? Or binge drinking? By the local fraternity.
I think I'll go with C.
You've got to look at all the possible causal factors.
That's right.
So
anyway, back to global warming.
Yeah, so Christopher Booker points out, look, the polar bears are not vanishing. But apart from polar bears, these errors in this 3,000-page UN document, these are the biggies. Destruction of the Himalayan glaciers, the Amazon rainforest, famine in Africa, fast rising sea levels, threats of hurricanes, droughts, floods, and heat waves, all becoming more frequent. And he points out that these are just a few isolated errors in the IPCC report.
The list you just gave seem like the pillars that hold up the global warming edifice.
Yeah, and he says all these alarms were given special prominence in the IPCC's 2007 report, and each of them has now been shown to be based not on hard evidence, but on scare stories derived not from scientists, but from environmental activists.
Environmental. So someone with an axe to grind was filling in the blanks and feeding the data over there at East Anglia.
That's where they are.
The IPCC,
East Anglia.
So he says those glaciers are not vanishing. The damage to the rainforest is not from climate change, but logging and agriculture.
And I'm personally not against those things.
I'm for logging in agriculture, but it should be done in a responsible fashion.
Well, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I think if we cut down trees, couldn't we just plant more trees? They grow, right?
Well,
they
that's what we tend to do.
I would think if I had a logging business, I wouldn't want to run out of logs.
In fact, did North America have more trees 200 years ago or today?
Well, it'd have to be 200 years ago because we have been destroying the environment for the better part of 200 years here. So.
I just don't know. I don't know how many millions of acres Native American Indians planted of trees. I don't know if there's a forest fire. I don't know if did the Navajo, did they have?
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. They didn't put out the fires, did they?
Like, did they have aerial response to fires?
No, and I don't think they did. And then
did they bring in firefighters from like six states?
No, I don't.
I don't recall. I wasn't there, but I don't know if the American Indians, before, a couple hundred years ago, what they did if lightning started a forest fire. Did they put it out?
I don't think they had a management program for natural disasters.
So are there more trees today than there were 200 years ago? I'm not sure the answer.
I am. There's a lot.
But
more
I would
today.
Bet
there is a lot.
There
more.
Are more trees today. At the Denver Post, there's a photograph looking from downtown Denver to the foothills west.
Yeah.
From 100 years ago and one from today. And the one 100 years ago, it was a desert.
Right. Yeah.
Today, there are millions of trees where there was a desert.
Mm-hmm.
So think
despite
about
the urban and suburban sprawl, despite all that.
Yeah, it's the sprawl that brought the millions of trees.
Right. People like trees in their yard and in their parks and on their golf courses.
And grass.
Yeah, and grass, which is good.
Yeah. So we should send some to Afghanistan.
They need grass. It's all dirt over there.
Badly.
Dust.
They need it. So it seems like human beings, when we take care of the environment, which we should, God wants us to do that we are good for the environment.
Seems that way.
We clean up our rivers and our lakes. I mean, we did mess them up.
Oh, sure.
When we figured out that we could make machines that go more than 50 miles an hour, we sort of got out of control.
We went a little haywire there.
Wow, look at this. And we can make them go up in the air.
Yeah. We had some rivers catch on fire, but that got our attention.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that was Cleveland, and nobody really noticed
then
that.
Then we put out the lakes.
Yeah. Once we put out the lakes.
We put out the fires. And generally, I think we are working to improve our environment, and that's all good. But these are all scares, and the scares are the exact issues where the United Nations made stuff up.
Uh-huh.
They made stuff up. And now we can read in shocking detail, according to the London Telegraph, the truth of the outrageous efforts made to include in the 2007 report the IPCC, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
Those guys.
Their most shameless stunt of all, the notorious hockey stick graph.
I remember that. We just talked about that last week.
We did, because the data. For one, it was a fabrication.
Yeah, just
that temperatures have exploded just in the recent decades,
right?
Compared to the last centuries, and for two, the world's leading expert, the global warming expert who created the hockey stick graph, Phil Jones, says the data is lost.
It's lost.
It's gone.
Yeah.
And thanks to BEL's crack investigative producers, they found the data. At NHL.com.
Right there in front of everybody, huh?
At NHL.com.
Yeah, imagine that.
It's there. In other words, in the crucial issues, the UN's 2007 report was just propaganda designed to panic people into that Copenhagen agreement.
That's where it was all supposed to come to a head there in Copenhagen.
Yeah, it was. So, Doug, what's your take on where we're at with global warming? It seems to me that millions of people are realizing that Al Gore is a doofus, that he was had, and he's using this for political gain. And these guys have made, I mean, we are talking about an industry that has made billions and billions of dollars trading carbon credits.
Oh, yeah. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. How many trillions of dollars of development have been stifled by the claims and the scare tactics of the global warming profiteers.
Yeah, hundreds of billions of dollars have gone to the scam scientists.
Yeah.
The individual scientists have become multimillionaires.
Mm-hmm.
Al Gore, what has Al Gore made? Al Gore,
he's doing all right.
Has made a fortune.
Yeah.
And the price tag to fight global warming was going to be the largest single bill ever presented to the human race, tens of trillions of dollars to tilt at windmills to fight a make-believe enemy.
And now the corporations who were bullied into funding these bogus operations, all this green this and green that, now the corporations have stopped and they've had their people look at the evidence.
Yeah.
And they're calling the CEO and they're saying, you know what? I think we can get out of all this. I don't think we need to spend that $4 billion on the green program over at General Motors or whatever massive corporation, Caterpillar. How many tens of thousands of dollars were these companies shaken
hundreds
down
of
for?
Thousands, millions. And so here at Bubba Neart Live for almost 20 years on the air, from the beginning of this show, we've been saying that the whole global warming scam, it's a scam.
Yeah. The global warming.
And so we've used 50,000 watts over these years to help this unravel. And Doug, this is unraveled at a staggering speed just before Copenhagen.
That's
hit.
Right, because it was right at the couple of weeks before Copenhagen that the emails were leaked.
The emails were leaked,
and the crap
were. Yeah, they were
leaked. Yeah, they were leaked. Now, the global warmists, the warmists, they say they were stolen. That's what Al Gore said in his op-ed piece on Sunday in the New York Times.
I tell you, whoever stole those global warming emails from the top scientists, the inside clique, whoever did that is a hero and deserves a Nobel Peace Prize.
There you go. Probably the greatest whistleblower in the history of...
Greatest whistleblower, saving us tens of trillions of dollars because this thing has fallen apart. And now that Punxsutawney Phil Jones, he's come out and he said, look, the hockey stick data, we lost it. This is on the BBC. He said, turns out that we haven't had any warming in 15 years.
Phil Jones said that.
Phil Jones said that. He said, you know what? The temperatures rose faster back in the 1860s than they've done in the past 30 years. That was before CO2 levels went up.
Yep.
And lo and behold, he says, the world may have been hotter during the medieval warming period 1,000 years ago than it is today.
Wow, Phil. I mean, that's an awful lot for us to have to digest all at once. But I think we can handle it, Phil. Yeah. I think we can handle it.
Right.
And you know, now it's interesting that we bring up this topic today because Barack Obama made his triumphal entry into the East Room today. And he declared that the debate is over. And the socialist Democrats in charge of the government have decided that they're going to use some parliamentary trick to pass this thing by 51 votes.
Yeah, right.
And so perhaps there's someone deep within the bowels of the beast there in Washington who has all the emails and they're starting to have a conscience. And perhaps something will happen to derail what's happening in Washington.
Well,
it's possible.
Well, let's hope so because government health care is socialism. It's socialism. The reason that welfare is wrong is that God said, thou shalt not steal. And the government does have the right to operate a police force, a military, provide infrastructure like roads and bridges and police the airwaves.
I'm all for that.
Yeah, the government has the right to do those things. They don't have the right to do dental care and education and all the things that they do, because when they do it, when they overstep the boundary that God gave for them, then people say, you know what? I'm not going to take care of my kids' teeth. The government is going to do that. I'm not going to make sure my kids have nutritious meals. The government does that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to make sure my kids get educated. The government does that. And it's like a rental car versus your own vehicle. People don't take care of things that other people are responsible for. Mm. And so when the government ends up responsible for children, for families, for the poor, guess what? Then churches, neighbors, families don't take care of their own.
That's right. And you know, when the government does these things, they have to overstep their boundaries in taxation, and they have to tax people at an onerous level like they do now. And I don't know about you, Bob, but when I have to fill out my taxes quarterly and write a check, there's a certain level of animosity that I have toward the government.
Hatred?
It could. Sometimes it goes into the hatred level.
Hatred.
But it's animosity. And it encourages the people to find ways to avoid paying what the government says legally they owe. And that's encouraging a bad attitude toward the government.
Right. We should be thankful for what our government does, but generally – it doesn't matter hardly where you fall on the spectrum. People despise the government.
Yeah.
The government, these pejoratives, like a lawyer. If you call somebody a lawyer,
they'll get offended.
Them's fighting words.
Yeah, I'd be offended.
Lawyers, politicians, the government.
Mm-hmm.
So it's come across to the culture that these things are negative influences.
Yeah.
And so God's word has answers for all these things. A guy who owns a coffee shop this morning asked me, Bob, what are we going to do to stop these gang murders?
Yeah.
We got gangs doing drive-bys and murdering people.
It's terrifying.
And I said, that's an easy one to solve.
Oh,
he said,
is?
Really? How? I said, yeah, just have this swift and painful death penalty for every convicted murderer. And we talked for 5 minutes, and he said, you know, that's the greatest plan. That would work. Wouldn't that work?
It would absolutely
work. It would work. But we said that liberals care more about the rapists and the murderers and the kidnappers than the women and children and victims.
They
I said, I don't. I will brutally, painfully, swiftly execute those people, and then we will see that we will save millions.
We'll preach the gospel to them before the execution. They would have an opportunity to hear the gospel and know that they're about to meet Jesus Christ, the creator and the judge of all the world.
Yeah, we'll give them time. When they get convicted, they don't get executed right away, but the next day at sundown.
I mean, you give them an overnight to think about it.
Yeah.
And I think you're right, Bob. I think it would work. I think it would absolutely work.
Yeah, we would save hundreds of thousands of families would not have their children grow up to become murderers. Mm. So you still would have rape, but it would decrease by maybe 98%.
Yeah, I would agree.
And murder, you'd still have murder, but it would decrease by probably 97%.
Yeah, and if the government would stay within its bounds, the taxes would decrease by 90%, and the government wouldn't have need of all these scare tactics, which is basically, Bob, this whole global warming thing is about raising taxes on everyone.
Raising taxes. It's a scam. It's control. And, Doug, if we had a government health care plan, hey, the staff at BEL, everybody get health care for free.
Woo-hoo.
Wouldn't it help us? But we're against it because it destroys people.
Yeah.
Now, fathers don't have to work as hard to provide health care for their kids. So fathers become drunks, and they betray their wives and their children.
Well, we're not buying it anymore.
No, it's a scam. Obama's a scam. God bless you, Doug. Thanks. Maranatha. Thank you.